And Gabriel, who's our newest seminarian for the diocese, has been living with us at the rectory for several months now. He came along in a separate vehicle. And when we left the nursery, I got onto I-70 and was happily listening to an audiobook about the Borgias, no less, when all of a sudden Gabriel called me and said, "I think we're going the wrong way on I-70. And I looked up, and there was the exit for Boonville. Which, if you know me, that's not completely abnormal. But sometimes we can get so distracted, we quite happily go the wrong way for a very long time. Among other things, this Feast of the Ascension teaches us and reminds us of the right way to go. We who are the body of Christ must follow where Christ our head has gone. And it's easy to get distracted by the world. It's easy to be consumed with all kinds of busynesses. But don't forget that death puts an end to all the busyness, and that our true home is where Christ our head has gone. And he's blazed a trail for us to follow. There's a lot of bling in this world to distract us. And that may be partly why St. Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, prays for us today that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened. The eyes of our hearts. You know, the eyes that see deeper than just appearances, that can see truth and goodness and virtues and love. He prays that our hearts, the eyes of our hearts, may be enlightened. Enlightened for what purpose? He says to know our true hope and to know the glorious riches that we have inherited alongside the angels and the saints. Those riches are the kind that don't fade. They're eternal. And they're glorious, meaning that they don't pull us down into selfishness and greed. Glorious riches means they pull us up into generosity and magnanimity and every virtue. People who are rich in virtue are the best people to be around. They're fun, they're friendly, they don't take themselves too seriously. In fact, they really don't think about themselves a whole lot at all. They're just full of laughter and goodness. And they make people around them better people. Those are glorious riches, beautiful riches, ennobling riches. That's our inheritance in Christ Jesus. So don't be fixated on making a lot of money. Be fixed, rather, on growing in virtue, on following Christ, and on the glorious heavenly riches. St. Paul also teaches us about the surpassing power of God's greatness. The surpassing power. In his ascension, Jesus goes to the right hand of the power, to the right hand of God, the Almighty. In the ascension, Jesus is clothed in power above every other thing in the universe. And this power of Jesus is the power to serve. It's the power to overcome evil and to raise up good. The greatest worldly power isn't the American military. It isn't the richest man or the richest corporation. The greatest worldly power is the devil, who has power to corrupt human minds and human souls. But the power of Jesus is greater than any devil. He has power to redeem us and to forgive us, and he loves us. That's the kind of power we want in our corner, on our side. So St. Paul wants us to be clear that Jesus possesses true riches and true power. Power to rise above evil. Power to serve one another. Power to cleanse us of our sins. Come to him and be healed of the lies and the untruths of this world. In the gospel, we hear kind of a confusing story where the disciples of Jesus worship him and doubt him. How could they worship and doubt him at the same time? But I suppose we're all capable of doing that still today, aren't we? And the beautiful thing is, Jesus doesn't get upset that they doubted, because he knows they haven't yet received the Holy Spirit, haven't yet received the promise of the Father. And later, at Pentecost, when they're filled with the Holy Spirit, there's no longer any room for doubt. The more we're filled with the Spirit, the more there's that doubt is driven out, is overcome. They're filled with heavenly riches, with heavenly power, with the Spirit of truth. You know, our faith waxes and wanes, goes up and goes down. Sometimes we doubt. But despite our doubts, we should still come to worship, because it's in worshiping that our faith grows. Despite their doubts, they continued to worship Jesus. And 10 days later, they received power, the power of the Holy Spirit that came to them, and their faith was strengthened. It's okay to doubt, but keep worshiping. Jesus goes to the Father so that his Holy Spirit will come to us. You and I need to be filled with the Holy Spirit of Jesus to rise above our doubts and to be strengthened in believing and trusting in God and in his Holy Church. The last thing I want to mention about the ascension is that Jesus goes to the right hand of the Father in order to intercede for us, to pray for us, to plead for us. He takes up his duties as our great high priest, who never stops praying and interceding for us. He prays that we be docile, obedient, teachable, open to receiving the Holy Spirit. Notice in the gospel, there were 10 days between the ascension of Jesus and the descent of the Holy Spirit. What did the apostles and the Blessed Mother do during those 10 days? They prayed. They prayed for the gift of the Holy Spirit continuously. They were teaching us how important it is for us to pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's a simple and a beautiful prayer each day to say, "Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Fill the hearts of your faithful. Enkindle in us the fire of your love. Come, Holy Spirit." So here's the homework for the week. Strive to be super aware this week that you are the body of Christ and that Christ is your head. And pray for the gift of the Holy Spirit each and every day, again and again. Pray that your heart be expanded to receive more and more and more of the Spirit's power and love and virtue.